gift of worship and gift of each other, that we can see you through our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. May your name be lifted up on high in 2017, and let our walk with you get deeper and deeper, and let our you know, feet get wider and wider to proclaim the beauty of Jesus Christ in this world. May this worship be given to you from the bottom of our heart, and we thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you will do on behalf of us to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Welcome all of you for our first service in 2017. As we face the first day of 2017, the first thing we all need to straighten and be clear is to know our purpose of life. There are three kinds of people in this world. The first kind is the people who do not know their life purpose. And second kind of people is the people who do know fully well their life purpose, but that purpose is misaligned with God's purpose for them. And the third group of people is the people who know fully well their life purpose, which is also fully aligned with God's purpose for them. Which category do you think you belong to? The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace in mind, or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, your career, and or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. The search for the purpose of life has puzzled many people for many, many, you know, centuries. That is because we typically begin at the wrong starting point ourselves. We ask ourselves self-centered questions like this: what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals, my ambitions, my dreams for my future? Focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life purpose. So in 2017, I like all of us to find a clear purpose of life from the Lord and begin to fulfill it. To that end, we can begin with the Gospel of John as a starting point. You know, at the end of 2017, we will be so familiar with the Gospel of John. Nuts and bolts, every nuts and bolts will be in our mind and in our heart and in our walk with the Lord from the Gospel of John. To that end, would you please turn with me this morning to John chapter 1. We are going to read verses 35 to 39. Gospel of John 1:35. And here is the word of God. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Two of the John's disciples noticed Jesus as they heard their master John the Baptist saying Jesus is the Lamb of God on the previous day. And then they follow Jesus according to this episode that we just read. John the Baptist had quite a few disciples of his own. He was regarded as a prophet or even rabbi. And the day before this episode, John the Baptist saw Jesus, on whom the Spirit of God descending from heaven like a dove. If you read verse 32, that's what happened. That's what John the Baptist saw. And he also testified that Jesus is the Son of God in verse 34. And the two of disciples of John might have been with their master, John the Baptist, and they also recognized who Jesus was. So I think these two disciples of John were curious about Jesus. They decided to check upon him with good intention, who Jesus is and what he has to say. The text read, they followed Jesus. This is amazing because in many cases, Jesus initiated to follow him. But even before Jesus initiated his invitation to the potential disciples, these two particular disciples of John followed Jesus. It may well be that they were following Jesus some distance behind. Perhaps they were still shy and they were still checking upon Jesus Christ. But and then Jesus turned and spoke to them in verse 38. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek? What do you seek?" Jesus began by saying these two men, perhaps the most fundamental question of our life, "What do you seek?" Or, "What are you looking for?" He asked them. This is another way of saying, "What is your life purpose?" It was a very relevant question in Palestine in time of Jesus. There were several groups of people in Palestine in Jesus' time, and each group was completely separated in its interest from others, and they pursued their own life purpose, so to speak. And among them were, first of all, the scribes and the Pharisees. We encounter so many scribes and Pharisees throughout the Bible. And this is one of the most distinctive groups in the first century in Palestine. And they were interested in the very details of the law. Not only they memorized all above 600 plus laws, and they were concerned if a person is observing the Moses law in strict fashion or not. And their life goal was to evangelize the law of Moses, so to speak. They are very committed to this goal. And second distinctive group in Jesus' time was the Sadducees. And Sadducees were looking for position and power. Their life goal was to move up in the ranks of authority and power to be able to rule the society. But there was another group called the Zealot. The Zealot. One of Jesus' disciples is from this group, the Zealot. And they were nationalists looking for a political and military leader who can overthrow the Romans. And they look at Jesus as a potential, the leader for the Jewish nation. And their life goal was to regain the independence of Israel from the Romans. And yet there was another distinctive group called the Quiet. They were the hermit. They were humble men of prayer, looking for God and for his will. And their life goal was to keep themselves completely separated from the world. to be able to focus on God. They basically detach everything, tangle themselves from the world. So they live in a caves and they devote themselves in prayer and meditating the word of God. And each of these four groups of people was pursuing something out of their lives. And likewise, the two disciples of John the Baptist, they were pretty close to the quiet, the hermit, as the John the Baptist is regarded as the quiet. And the Jesus question, what do you seek, is still a valid question to ask ourselves, you know, every now and then. You know, what am I looking for? What's my aim and goal in life? You know, what am I really trying to get out of this life? Some are searching for happiness and security. They would like to a position which is safe and money enough to meet the needs of life and some extra to be able to enjoy leisure without being constrained financially. This is not a wrong aim, but it is a low aim, and it is an inadequate thing to which to direct all life. And some are searching for what they would call a career, for power, prominence, prestige, for a place to fit the talents and abilities they believe themselves to have, and for an opportunity to do the work they believe capable of doing. If this is directed by motives of personal ambition, it can be a bad aim. If it be directed by motives of services of other fellow people, it can be a high aim. But it is not enough, for its horizon is limited by time and by the world. Still, this aim is earthly aim. And some are searching for some kinds of purpose, that is to love God and the people by giving their time and their services. And they know their life purpose in light of eternity. When you live in light of eternity, your aim will change, and your perspective will change, and your purpose will change. And someone said, our life should be more than our life. That's what it means, looking our life in light of eternity. When we live in light of eternity, the search for God becomes a part of our life. The Bible says, God's plans endure forever, His purposes last eternally. You know, God's plans are not just earthly, but heavenly and also on a horizon of eternity. You know, that is why if we focus our own life on earthly realm itself, we will never be able to find the purpose of God for our life, because God's plans expand more than this earthly realm. In order for our life purpose to make sense, it should align with the very purpose of God over our life. Because God created our life, only God can give us the very purpose of God. Very purpose of our life from His perspective. Bible said, you were created in care. You were in my care even before you were born, Isaiah 44:2. And Colossians 1:16, Apostle Paul said, by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. You know, this verse implies that everything God started in God and finds its purpose in God. The search for the purpose of life apart from God will be meaningless. You know, even the atheist Bertrand Russell admitted this by saying, unless you assume a God, the question of life purpose is meaningless. You know, when I got to college in Korea, I had to take philosophy, modern philosophy course as part of my general education requirement. And I took that course, and the main text was actually written by Bertrand Russell. And the title of the book was The Meaning of Life. You know, to be honest, I studied very hard to find the meaning of life from that book, but I found it was totally useless. It was totally meaningless. It didn't make sense at all to find meaning out of the book written by Bertrand Russell. He even admitted to say, unless you assume a God, the question of life purpose is meaningless. So my pursuit of finding meaning of life in philosophy course was not fruitful. I couldn't find the meaning out of that book. And going back to the text, Jesus recognized these two disciples of John following him, and he turned to them and cast a question that would change their life. What do you seek? What are you looking for? What is your life purpose? Why do you exist? Do you know that? And the answer of John's disciples is this: Rabbi, where are you staying? It's kind of a strange answer, isn't it? Where are you staying? Jesus asking, what are you seeking? What do you seek? And they say, Rabbi, where are you staying? Rabbi is a Hebrew word which translated as my great one, literally, my great one. It's a title of respect given by students or seekers. What they meant was they did not really wish to speak to Jesus only on the road, just as the rest of the passersby. They wished to linger along with him and talk out their life and learn from Jesus. That's what they when they said, where are you staying, really meant. They wanted to meet Jesus not as an acquaintance in the passing, but a friend in his own house. You know, we may wonder, why don't they invite them to their house? Hey, Jesus, would you come and stop by our house? I'd like to spend time with you. That would be more courteous from 21st century perspective. But I think we need to understand some background in the first century, especially the relationship between the rabbi and their followers. In Jesus' time, in the first century, discipleship took place at the teacher's place. As the teacher recruited their students, the teacher provided a place of lodging and study. And the teacher provide the food, three meals per day, and the place they can pray and study. So when the two disciples asked Jesus where he's staying, this implies that they were interested in being Jesus' disciples. So that's why they ask, where are you staying, Rabbi? And Jesus' answer is written in verse 39. He said to them, come and you will see. You know, some other the translation say, just come and see. Either one works because the original Greek can demand a future tense or command. So come and see, or come and you will see. When Jesus said, come and see, he was inviting them not only to come and talk, but to come and find the things he alone could offer, what they were looking for, the purpose of life from God's perspective. You know, there are certain things that can only be learned by investing our time and effort, which is called discipleship. The essence of discipleship is to spend time with Jesus. And Jesus was actually inviting these two disciples of John to let them learn from him by staying together, spending time together. And Jesus was very kind to these men who were searching for their life purpose. You know, Jesus is still waiting to, still willing to open his arms to those who pursue him, even nowadays. We may not see him, we may not spend his home to learn from him, but spiritually speaking, his doors are always open for those who are willing to knock. And that's why he has given us the church. Church is the place where, as a community of God, we can learn about Jesus and grow together as disciples of Jesus. And this episode ends with a comment from the writer of the Gospel, John himself. Another John, not John the Baptist. He is John, one of the 12 disciples later. He said in verse 39, "They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." The 10th hour is about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Whenever you see the time in the New Testament, add 6 hours more, then it's equivalent to our time. So it was 4 p.m. It was getting late, and they stayed their first night with Jesus in their pursuit of being a disciple of Jesus. And one of them was Andrew, if you read the later section of this portion of chapter 1. And Andrew confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. He went to his brother, Peter, and he said, "You know, we met the Messiah." What happened to this one of John's disciples? Probably Jesus taught that I am the Messiah. And Andrew was the first one who confessed Jesus is the Messiah according to the Gospel of John. There are a few lessons from this passage I'd like to share. Sorry that I had skipped this one. The first lesson out of this episode is we need to know what we are seeking out of life. This is called a purpose-driven life. What are you seeking? Jesus' question is a life-changing question raised in his generation, but still valid to each one of us. What are you seeking? We need to know what purpose of life we are seeking. You know, purpose is defined something set up as an object or end to be attained, or the reason for which something is done or created, or the reason for which something exists. Deborah Day, I don't know who this person is, but he left these words: "Your purpose is your why." Why? Why question? Why am I here for? What is God's purpose for my life? That kind of question, very fundamental question. And someone said, find a purpose to serve, not a lifestyle to live. So purpose is not the same as lifestyle. Many people know what lifestyle they want to live, but not necessarily knowing the purpose of their life. And Frank Sonnenberg said, everyone on earth was born for a reason. What is yours? And Proverbs 19:21, Solomon says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So in order to know our life purpose, we need to begin with God, asking God. And God has an answer. God has a unique purpose for each one of us. because he created each one of us. So this leads to another lesson, second lesson, which is the last one today. We need to align with what Jesus is seeking out of us. I mean, first lesson is great. We need to know what we are seeking out of life, but more importantly, we need to align with what Jesus is seeking out of us. What is Jesus' purpose for you and me? What is Jesus' purpose for this church? What is Jesus' purpose for your son and your daughter? What is Jesus' purpose for your grandchildren? We need to keep asking. Jesus is very clear with what he wants us to do and wants us to be. It is discipleship. Follow me. You know, last year's verse, 2016 verse, do you remember, you remember 2016 verse? I just said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And this year, if you look at the front of the bulletin, it says, which is John 1:39, he says to them, come and you will see. Come and you will see is another way of saying, follow me. So it's an invitation by Jesus to each one of us to be his disciple. You know, discipleship cannot be done just 1 year and then move on to next stage. So that's why we want to continue on with discipleship as our goal, as the purpose of our church in 2017. And last year, we have defined a disciple of Jesus in three ways, if you recall. First of all, disciple of Jesus is following Jesus Christ. This is on our mind, our head. It's a change of the mind, which is called metanoia, which is the essence of repentance. It's a directional change of life. We may sometimes realize that we are not really following Jesus. Actually, we are following something else and realize that, oh, that's not the right way, and make a U-turn and coming to Jesus. It's a change of mind, and it's a directional change of life. And the second characteristics of disciple of Jesus is, it's being changed by Jesus Christ himself. It's a change of heart. Not just change of mind, but change of heart, which means being transformed to be like Jesus in his love, in his compassion, mercy, and holiness, and grace, and truth, etc. And as we are being changed by Jesus, our value is going to be transformed as well, from a self-centered life to God-centered life. And another characteristic of being changed by Jesus is developing intimate relationship with Jesus himself through the Word of God and prayer and worship. So this is a change of our heart. But there's another one. It's the change of our hands. A disciple of Jesus is committed to the mission of Jesus Christ. It means getting involved in the ministry of the church. Mission-oriented life means reaching out to the unsaved and the needy people around us. Getting involved in the ministry of the church. Church basically have two ministries, evangelism and mission, and helping the poor. And ultimately, being a disciple maker. When you know, we are committed to the mission of Jesus Christ, we want to talk about Jesus, which is called you know, evangelism or preaching and teaches about Jesus. We want to grow up to that level that we proclaim the goodness of God in the Son. So discipleship is very simple. It's a change of our mind, our head, and our heart, and our hands all together. And it's a work in progress. Some of you may be developing your mind, your mindset, change your mindset from worldly perspective to godly perspective. That has to take place. And some of you may be having going through a transformation. You're being sanctified. You want to be like Jesus in all aspects. There's a deep desire in you to be like Jesus in his holiness and grace and love and mercy. It's a work in progress. And some of you may be, putting your hands wet for the mission of Jesus Christ by spending your time and your effort to make him known to this world and help the people who are in need financially and, emotionally and so on. And especially praying for the sick. That's another ministry that we do with our hands. So let me ask you, what was your progress last year? How much have your mind and heart and hands been transformed in 2016? As I said, discipleship progress is not something we can achieve over 1 year and then move on to something else. It is ongoing work in progress. We need to continue to ask ourselves, am I a disciple of Jesus? Over and over again. And we have to be very intentional to be a disciple of Jesus. If you let your work and time and your family take over you, it's not going to happen. You have to be very intentional. Because it takes a lot of planning, a lot of sacrifice and service and discipline, discipleship. The core of discipleship is disciplining ourselves to the likeness of God. So I want all of us to progress this year in 2017 to be a disciple of Jesus. Think about how you did last year. And that is your starting point. If your Sunday attendance was not consistent, then you begin with making a resolution to attend Sunday worship consistently and regularly. And if your Bible reading was not really part of your life, you may begin with your Bible this year. If you spend 15 to 20 minutes each day, you can read the whole Bible in a year. I think you find a Bible reading chart. It's a sequential. If you try to find your time, 15 to 20 minutes every day, you can read the whole Bible in a year. Isn't that a great milestone? I think that's a great thing to do. Just give God your 15 minutes. God will give you, his vision to you. And you will know the purpose of God as a starting point. And if your prayer was lacking last year, think about attending Friday a prayer meeting as well as developing your personal time with God. You need to set apart the place and a time, very specific place and specific time. If you don't do that, you may say, I can't pray any place at driving, while I was shopping. Of course, you can do that, but the best way is to find a specific place and a time. Set apart that. Make it holy. Sanctify them, the place and time, and God will honor you. You will see God's vision, being born in your heart. And if your ministry involvement was absent, pray about where you can be involved. There are many things that you can be involved by for the service, for the church and outside. And if your witness was lacking last year, set a target as to how many people you'd like to share the gospel track this year. And pray for certain people. God, you know, allow you to know them in your life. You know, they are the one probably you need to share the track. You know, everyone is on a different stage of discipleship. Whatever stage you are progressing, my prayer is that all of us to progress to a different level, so that we would be joyful and joyful in following Jesus Himself, and Jesus is our resource, and He's available with us, and He'll guide us what to do as we pray to Him in His name. Let us pray. Father, thank you that we are reminded of life purpose given by you. And Jesus came to this world and He commanded us to follow Him. It's very clear, something that we can cherish in our heart to be His disciple. Let 2017 be a year that we truly turn into a disciple of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to follow you, and we are confident that you will provide all the resources and all the energy and passion as we turn to you. May your name be lifted up from our individual life and as well as by the Jubilee Church. In Jesus' name.
Sing your hallelujah.
Is based on your endless mercy, your faithfulness that endures forever. As we commit to be your disciple in 2017, bless each one of us, bless each man and each woman, and bless each family and each single person in this room. We set our goal to yours, set our purpose to your purpose for each one of us and for this church. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.